Welcome back for another episode of Clean Tech Talk, where we at Cleantechnica interview clean tech leaders from around the world. With topics ranging from electric cars to climate change communication, you can listen to our full podcast series by visiting our website at cleantechnica.com.
I'm doing a special episode of Clean Tech Talk, and for our YouTube show today, just a solo episode. I don't know if this is something we'll try with in the future for other videos, but it just felt like something I couldn't only write about. I needed to talk about, needed to give some nuance and tone to, and I think it's such a big topic in the clean tech and EV arena right now. I mean, particularly for Tesla, that probably I would end up doing a bit of a series on this topic, talking with other people about it. But the topic is full self-driving and robo-taxis, and you know what is reasonable to assume, and what is reasonable to, you know, to say is definite, and just what I think about it. So this particularly comes from people asking me my thoughts on it and just sort of struggling to put it into text adequately. So I feel like I need to talk about it. So first off, I would just go back about nearly a decade now when Tesla started, you know, having these plans for robotaxis. I wrote articles at the time about how I thought they had the perfect approach for it, the only approach that would work, you know, all the same stuff that everybody says now who supports Tesla's approach to it. We wrote big pieces on it and referenced those pieces for years because I was 100% sold that was the right way to go. Currently, I am open-minded. I do not claim or think I know what will happen, but my opinion has shifted such that I do not think the current setup and approach is going to be adequate that Tesla is taking to robo-taxis. Again, there's a lot of nuance to get into here. Many people just say Elon knows much more and knows better. 100% he knows much more, but he's been off for about 5 years on his predictions with this. So I think to assume that he just knows because he's working on it, he's leading a team on it, and he knows much more about it than most of us. I mean, it's still just uncertain what this approach can achieve and how long it will take. And nobody can assume they know the answer. And to think anyone can assume they know the answer is a fool's errand, in my opinion. I think Elon Musk's statements from the past 5 years or so, or even 8 years, if you want to go back, prove the point that, you know, if he knew so much better what he was talking about, we would have had robotaxis long ago. So he feels validated right now, as he was saying on the conference call, that the approach they're taking is the correct one. 100% he's behind it, seems as much as ever. He stated yesterday on the conference call that anyone invested in Tesla, I mean, they've got to be invested in the AI robotics part of Tesla. That's what the investment is all about now. So he's all about that. He thinks if you don't believe in Tesla's approach, you shouldn't be invested in Tesla. So I think it's just clear that is where he has centralized all of Tesla's value and future value and basically why he thinks Tesla is special at this point. So there's a few things, there's a lot to get through on this, so this is why it's a video. But let's just start with progress from full self-driving 12.3, which is what he was also highlighting. So I've had the full self-driving. I bought it, you know, almost 5 years ago, and I've had it since right as soon as they started doing the safety score system. I got 100 on the safety score very quickly and got the full self-driving beta. So as I and others have said, where it's at right now is basically where we thought it was going to be at the end of 2019. So 4.5 years ago. This, or at the very least, is what we thought it was going to be when we got access after the safety score system a few years ago. So this is what we thought it was going to be. So on the plus side for the system, we can say now it's looking like what we thought it was going to look like when I and others believed it would lead to robotaxis. Now, that could be a sign it's actually on track. It's just late. And, you know, Elon Musk is well known for delivering certain things just late. The Model 3, Model X, for example, a lot of SpaceX stuff. So you could say that's the same deal. I think it's a little different. It's a software issue. It's a lot less clear, in my opinion, how you get to the end goal. It's not as simple as the physical car and rocket issues that he's succeeded with in the past. But in any case, the system has improved dramatically in the 12.3 version. They have much greater compute power. They're using neural nets to do much more, and it's a much smoother, more refined, more comfortable, better system. When you're driving around, for the most part, it feels like a human is driving it. A couple months ago, it did not feel like that. The system was all out of whack and did all kinds of crazy stuff. Now, it really feels like a human is driving it, except for a few weird things it does, like changing lanes at odd times, making a full stop at a stop sign, which is required to do by law, but no human really does, unless you're taking a driving test. So it's much more natural. I think there's a little bit of a risk in thinking, because it feels more natural and because it's better at the basic stuff that it could do before, but just not as smooth and not as comfortably, that it's made a leap that shows it's on its way to robotaxi capability. It still makes a lot of errors. And where it makes errors, I think, is important as well. So I can go on a 40-minute drive and make no errors. Or maybe a 20-minute drive makes one error. But it needs to go a lot more than it's going, like orders and orders of magnitude more, without making critical errors before it would be robotaxi capable. Many people you talk to with it have experiences where they say it tried to do something unsafe or he had to disengage. One example I have from somebody I know who met in person and has written for us a little bit. He was using it on a road trip, and it took him into a McDonald's parking lot through a no entry, exit only entrance. Well, exit. There's an exit, but the car drove in through there, despite it saying no entry, exit only. So it's just a fundamental thing. Like, if that happens one out of a billion times, okay. But if it happens, I mean, it happened to him, this one person. I know a few people with FSD in person. That's a critical error. And people have others. There's a lot with, there are various types. So another one that maybe is simple to resolve, but still isn't resolved, is it doesn't respond to school zones. So when you're driving through a school zone, if there's no flashing yellow light, you can drive the speed limit. If the light is flashing yellow, you have to slow down, or you get, you know, speeding fines are doubled. I go through a few school zones every day, twice a day even, and it doesn't respond to them. So I don't understand why this hasn't been solved by now. This is a big, I mean, again, speeding fines are doubled through a school zone for a reason. It's imperative that you do not speed in a school zone. Why does the system still have no ability to recognize if it's a school zone. In any case, maybe it gets the update in 6 months. That's one problem solved. Maybe. I don't know. I still don't understand why it can't resolve that issue at this point. But the bigger issue, in my opinion, is at intersections and with certain lane issues. So it struggles sometimes to know what it should do in a kind of edge case intersection and or situation. And it's not just like, oh, this kind of intersection is a problem. It seems to have a problem because I think of how it learns, because it's trying to solve stuff based on a few rules and experience of drivers. There are edge cases that are going to be very similar, but very different in what you're supposed to do. So there's one case of like a guy who's taking two left turns. I mean, there was a road that ended with two left turns and one right turn, no straight. And the car was supposed to turn right. For some reason, it was in the left turn furthest to the right. And in the middle of the intersection, it cut a car off and turned right. This is a critical error. I mean, if you're a little unlucky with the other cars, you're in an accident. And it's just one example, but most of the cases where I've seen where it fails, it's these kind of intersections where it's not clear what it should be doing. And my concern with it is there's no clear, this is the rule that it's being told. It's learning, and in one edge case, what it thinks it should do based on what it's learned is going to be correct. On a different one, slightly different, it's going to take the wrong decision, or it's going to go back and forth between the decisions based on little minute differences in what it's perceiving. And it doesn't have a human brain. It might have some kind of what you would call intelligence based on learning, but it doesn't have human decision-making that goes beyond what it's seeing, and it doesn't have context beyond what it sees and what it's learned from what it sees. And I know it's a hard distinction, but I personally think there's a lot more cases where you need the nuance of a human brain to make a good decision. There's also cases of making eye contact with other drivers or pedestrians. I think that probably ends up being more of a comfort issue and a like wasting time issue and being an irritating issue than a safety issue. But it could even become a safety issue if cues are not read and not followed. But it's more of a case of like what to do in certain edge cases with lanes, with turn lanes, with intersections, where I think there's a long-term issue, which I've termed like a seesaw effect, a seesaw issue, where if the neural nets solve it for one case, they mess up the decision-making for another case. And maybe that's not going to happen. Maybe it can really learn every nuance, every edge case well enough with, you know, the argument that, you know, Elon and people who believe in the approach make is that, as you know, the more the compute power, the more the data, the more it's going to improve and it will become robotaxi capable. I'm concerned that it thinks it learned something, it makes a decision based on what it's learned, and then that's right in some cases and wrong in other cases. And even within one specific instance, it can go back and forth, and even going back and forth and having a hard time making a decision can lead to an accident. Similar with braking for certain things. I think, you know, unexpected braking, which I think it still does a fair amount, much less than before, but like on the scale of like a million miles, I think it still does it a fair amount, where it creates a potential for accidents. So then we get, I mean, so there's two possibilities. One, the neural nets, the compute power, it all scales up and everything is solved, and the accidents or the mistakes even that someone could, you know, could discern from testing the system for 1,000 miles or 10,000 miles or 1,000,000 miles, are so minimal that it should be a robotaxi. That's one possibility. The other possibility is it has continual issues discerning what to do in certain edge cases that are very similar, where it either does the wrong thing because it thinks it's learned something, but it's learned the wrong thing for that case, or where it goes back and forth in its decision-making, which creates a potential for accidents. Those are two possibilities. I'm open-minded. Personally, I think I just feel slightly more these days that it's the case of it, of the seesaw problem not going away with this approach. There's also a hardware issue. So, you know, my car, 2019 Model 3, is supposed to have the hardware for robotaxi capability. As soon as it starts to rain a bit, or the camera is blinded a little bit by the sunlight in the morning or the evening, the car says it can't turn on full self-driving or autopilot because bad visibility. I don't see how you can have robotaxi approved capability when you have these hardware limitations with rain or sun. Potentially, if it gets better and better and better, it's more able to overcome the vision limitations, but I don't really have faith in that, to be honest, because I've seen too many times with too moderate of conditions where I can drive, I can see fine, and it says it can't. It's not ideal situation for seeing, but I can use context and different types of vision inputs and understanding of where cars are and going that I think it seems like the hardware is not able to do. Maybe I'm wrong. Then we get to the issue of regulations and accidents. So to get approved to be a robotaxi, the regulator has to feel confident that it can work as a robotaxi without potential accidents. Now, we've seen a bad accident from Cruise, a bad situation from Cruise where it didn't even hit the pedestrian first. The car next to it hit the pedestrian, and then the Cruise car ran over the pedestrian and dragged them, but it's just a freaky edge case. And it shut down Cruise in California, and everything's been like on pause. With Tesla's approach that is much more nebulous, and there's no clear, oh, we have a fix for that. It's more like, oh, the neural nets will fix it. Oh, the neural nets will solve that problem. If one accident happens, one person gets hit, what is Tesla's explanation for how they fixed the problem? Oh, we trained it more and it's not going to do that again. The neural nets learned. I have a hard time seeing regulators accepting that as a response. Like I think regulators will want to see something like, we added code for this situation to explain this and this. Maybe Tesla can do that as well, but I just see odd edge cases happening where something goes wrong and regulators are not happy with, oh, the neural nets, the training will solve this. We've trained it to not do that again. Like, I don't know. I'm concerned that's not going to fly. Secondly, I mean, there's just public perception as well. Like, if a Tesla full self-driving hurts or kills someone, there's big trouble. Another thing with the stage is that, so recently full self-driving has been so bad that you had to constantly monitor it, or you were really at risk of an accident. Now at 12.3, it's good enough where you can start to check out. You can start to not pay attention to everything, especially because it feels more comfortable, more smooth. Now, that's when we get to the dangerous phase of self-driving, of anything autonomous. This is where we get to a dangerous spot. This has been the case with Waymo, with other approaches. In fact, decades ago, NASA studied this with engineers and tried to get engineers to focus on something, to to monitor something and focus on something that really didn't require any intervention or very infrequent. And trained NASA engineers couldn't do it. They couldn't focus on something for a long period of time when it didn't require them intervening and doing something. So the less you need to intervene, the more you mentally check out and the more you're not prepared when something happens. So I think we're at that stage with full self-driving where we don't have really stories of people with full self-driving beta getting in accidents, because you had to be really attentive, and everybody, I think, knew it pretty much. You could see you needed to be attentive and you needed to be ready to take over. At the stage it's at, I think people will start to mentally check out, leave it, think they can watch a movie or do whatever. And when they actually need to step in, they won't be prepared, they won't be ready, and stuff will happen. Let's hope that's not the case. Let's hope, you know, that doesn't happen. But I think that's the stage we're at. It's a well-known stage in development, and I think that's where the technology is. Any accidents, especially deaths, that happen because of that, they're going to delay any possibility of robotaxis. I mean, obviously. And I think, you know, in the case of like whether some regulators will be more open and eager to start allowing them, that definitely, I assume, would be the case in some places. And then that might tell other jurisdictions, oh, we don't want to be behind, we should allow it as well. But then as soon as there's one accident or one death with it in one of those jurisdictions, what does that do to roll out? I mean, I don't see how that doesn't dramatically stall any rollout. So when I can drive the car and still have places I need to intervene, and everyone I know can drive the car and be amazed, wow, this is amazing what it can do, but still have cases where they should or need to intervene, then that's not even close to the 99.9999% that it needs to be robotaxi capability. That's so far from it that I think any expectation that this would happen this year is laughable. Any expectation it would happen next year, I think, is unrealistic. I know people who fully believe in the approach who think it would happen maybe in 5 years. That seems much more possible. But there's a lot to get to from here to there, and there's just a lot of potential problems and pitfalls. I think I've brought up all of them, but I would just return to the one that I think I've explained them all. I still have an open mind. I thought this approach, I explained why this approach was the approach to robotaxis, widespread robotaxis, 8 years ago, I think. So don't think I haven't thought all the same arguments and made the same arguments for why it should work. It's the same arguments Elon's making now that he's made for almost a decade. And everybody repeats them because they're very convincing arguments. It doesn't mean they're correct and doesn't mean that they're wrong. We don't know where this leads. It's a very open-ended case. There are not clear parameters that you work into the system and that solves all the problems. It has to deal with a variety, countless edge cases. And it doesn't just need to see an edge case, learn from it, improve, and know how to deal with it the next time. It needs to discern that edge case from a slightly, slightly different edge case. And I'm concerned it would just go back and forth. And that will happen enough, especially as the system gets better and drivers monitoring it check out more, that it will lead to accidents and even deaths. Now, will it be safer than the average human driving? It might get safer than the average human driving, but that doesn't matter if people are spooked by the system and every case of an accident stirs up the public against it. So whether that's logical or not, that's the situation. That's how society works. We act much more on fear than we should. Yeah, that's my long take on full self-driving. I'm sure I missed some stuff, but I think best would be to take this discussion into more places with guests in the future. But thank you for checking in. Like and subscribe and share with friends if you appreciate this. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Clean Tech Talk. Join us next time to get your electric fix. If you would like to sponsor our podcast, send us an email at accounts@cleantechnica.com. That's accounts@cleantechnica.com. Thanks. Yeah.